Hey everybody, this is Bill Leverty of Firehouse.
We're straight, no chaser.
Merry Christmas!
Hey, I'm Avril Lavigne.
This is Sam Cooke.
We're the Force MDs.
You're listening to The Sounds of Christmas.
Okay!
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very happy to have R&B singer-songwriter Cliff Beach back with us again this year. Cliff is the host of the Deeper Grooves podcast and also the Deeper Grooves Radio Hour on the SoCal Sound 88.5 FM. He's also the author of Side Hustle and Flow, 10 Principles to Live and Lead a More Productive Life in Less Time. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. Hey, hi, Cliff. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Ken. Glad to be back again. And super thankful for that wonderful bio, but also, yeah, just thankful for all those projects getting out into the world. I'm super excited to talk about the latest and greatest.
Yeah, now last year you were here to share the news about a new Christmas single, an a cappella version of Jingle Bells. And the year before that, you had released a Christmas album, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And this year, you've got something new to add to the holiday mix, Christmas Day Funk.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. And it's nice to see the trajectory of, I've always loved Christmas, being born a week before Christmas. December 18th is my birthday. And so, I wasn't originally going to do a new offering because we have been so busy, as you had mentioned, with Side Hustle and the Flow, the book, which forayed into a mini documentary on YouTube and a video online course on Udemy. And we're actually working on an audiobook follow-up that we're recording now. Since I've been doing a huge weight loss transformation in the last couple of months. And so I originally wasn't going to do anything else this year, but besides the audiobook that came out earlier in the year, I hadn't actually released any music since that last a cappella Christmas single. The funny thing about the a cappella Christmas single is that that was done almost a year before, right after Merry Christmas, Happy New Year album was completed. And that was done or prepared the year before that, when we were doing, during the pandemic, a big Christmas virtual concert for the city of LA, Rex and Parks. And so it kind of just, you know, it's kind of like Wizard of Oz, like you're walking all these steps and you don't know exactly like the linear path. It's not the linear path, but eventually like you get there. So for this new single, Christmas Day Funk, it was really about, obviously we had like Elvis, Blue Christmas. There's also an amazing, very obscure kind of Aretha Franklin holiday tune called Blue Holiday. But essentially, the holidays, which can be very festive, very fun for many people, in other ways, it's not always as fun. You know, it can be sad for other people. So I wanted to create something that basically, you know, tongue-in-cheek of using funk, both and you know, duality of being in a funk and also funk music. But essentially, Christmas Day Funk was to get me out of my own funk in this part of the year, and then also just to really have something upbeat that could be uplifting at the same time. And so we really went to like a postmodern, but still having a lot of classic elements of funk in there. And I mean, once you hear the first downbeat of the drum groove, then I think people are just excited. It's what I call deceptively Christmas. But this year, we for the first time, we used sleigh bells, which I had never used previously because I always thought it might make it too cheesy, but they actually sound great. So I think I might use more sleigh bells in the future.
Yeah, sleigh bells are like a spice. A little bit goes a long way.
No, certainly. Yeah, and they can definitely be overused. But again, I think this, and you know, the funny thing about writing this is that it kind of all came together very quickly. I think I work well under pressure. And so having probably about 3 weeks to write, record, and get the instruments on there and stuff, we moved pretty quick, but I like it because I think sometimes you can overthink a lot of projects. And so this allowed me to just like let it flow naturally and organically. And yeah, I'm excited just for people already. I know on Sounds of Christmas, they'll be playing it. So I'm excited just to get it out in the universe But the last single, we threw it out just to have, you know, an offering for that time of year. And it ended up getting on a really great playlist on Spotify. So the Jingle Bells acapella is on the Acapella Christmas playlist for Spotify. And we're up against, you know, groups like Take Six and the Pentatonix and some really great groups. So I was just happy and honored to be on there. I think it has about 150,000 streams on it, but it's wow. just been a great ride. And so I think that this will get into hopefully some new soul or new R&B or funk Christmas playlist. But either way, I just think it's always nice to have new offerings, obviously. And again, since I hadn't released anything for the year, I try to release at least one thing a year. So it's nice to say, you know what? The year's not over. Let's do something, you know, in December. And I couldn't think of a better Christmas gift to give to the world and to myself in a way, because every time I get to write, it gives me another reason to sharpen my skills and to try something different. And everyone that I've sent it to so far has been some great feedback, and some blogs have picked it up to start posting, you know, over the next month and a half. So, and again, super excited to have another offering, obviously, on Sounds of Christmas as well. So I think three or four things are floating around. So it's a great time.
Yeah. And there are several things that I really like about Christmas Day Funk. One is that you take a subject matter of having, you know, of having that kind of feeling, because it's not a joyful time of year for everyone, but it's not a sad song. It's not a, oh, woe is me kind of song. It's very hopeful. And it's almost, I hate to say happy because of the subject matter, but it is, it's upbeat, and you can't help but smile and get moving when you hear it.
Definitely. And you know, when you think about, especially like the blues idiom, like people are like, oh, the blues is sad songs, but the blues is actually a lot of great upbeat, happy music, yeah. You know, jump blues and stuff like that. So I think it just depends. And I think I tell people, you know, psychologically, a lot of times in life, you don't really get over things, you get through them. But how much fun to get through them together and to get through them with, you know, something that's upbeat. Because if you're listening to like a bunch of sad stuff, it just makes you sadder, whereas you can get through it, I think, faster by, you know, switching that radio dial to something that's a little different. So I'm excited to be able to put something out there, because, you know, I feel connected with the world and humanity, because we all go through that. We all have up times and down times. But in the end, I believe that the good outweighs the bad. And I think Santa Claus and Christmas is a great reminder of that, that especially even beyond that. Like this year I signed up, I'm doing the virtual turkey trot. Well, you know, whenever I get to be involved in charity work or doing things just for the community, like I said, when we did that free concert for the virtual Christmas for the city of LA, I love stuff like that, because I think, you know, whether you're giving out meals to the homeless or whatever it is, there's always something to get you out of your funk when you are thinking about other people instead of just yourself. And so I think the song allows you to do that too. It keeps it moving, keeps it grooving. And you know, I think it's a song that people will want to play on repeat, because again, it's deceptively Christmas. I try to write Christmas songs that are originals that you're like, oh, it's Christmas, but I'd actually listen to it in July because it's a great song. So hopefully this one is well received, like the last one.
And there are, I don't want to say complicated, but there are so many elements to this song that instantly bring back 70s R&B and funk. I felt like there was a callback to James Brown and to the OJs in it, and yet it sounds fresh and new, like something for 2023. It's a really good mix, and there are a lot of sad songs out this year, and I don't want to out anybody, but it's not, like I said, it's not necessarily always a joyful time for everyone, and a lot of artists have put out songs that reflect that. But this isn't one of those, because you feel this and it does, it gives you hope and it gets you moving instead of that, you know, that woeful kind of, oh, it's Christmas and I'm sad. And you don't feel that when you listen to Christmas Day Funk.
Yeah, no, certainly. You know, and even, you know, outside of secular Christmas, you know, I come from the gospel idiom. And so a lot of that James Brown call and response comes from that too. And ultimately, the Christmas story, you know, from that perspective, is really about hope and joy and things like that. And so I think being able to inject that into the season and into the music, ultimately, like, no matter what anybody is going through, there's so much to be thankful for and so much to be grateful for. And having that attitude of gratitude helps you not only get through the season, but it helps you have paradigm shifts and see the world in a different way. Because, you know, when you're thinking about that old saying about, you know, is the glass half full or half empty, and you're thinking about optimism, you know, I've learned, you know, from Side Hustle and Flow that optimism is something that can be learned. So even if you're not naturally optimistic, you can cultivate that within yourself. And so I do the daily work to try to help myself and others in that way. And so I think, you know, Christmas Day funk, it's like, you know what, it's going to be okay. And, you know, once you're up and out, you know, then it's easier to keep it moving. You know, it's like when you're stagnated or you're sitting in place, I think that's when you start to feel that heaviness of like what's happening. So it's like getting out there, getting out, talking to people, getting out there, going to volunteer or help someone else and stuff. And it's like, you know, getting out there, going to exercise, do stuff that's good for your body. All of those things kind of like holistically help. And I think music is a great way to do that. Music, unlike books or other stuff, I feel like it can permeate and go places that like just people can't. There's just something about, you know, I even heard, you know, in the movie Coda where, you know, deaf people, they can still feel the vibrations of music and connect with it in that way, even if they can't hear the lyrics or understand. So it's like, I think, again, music is one of those beautiful things that like it transcends so much. And it comes, you know, I think, you know, from the universe and another realm, because I'm like, I'm always amazed, like, how did I have this gift to even be able to write songs or figure out a structure or to do it so quickly? And so I don't take that for granted, because I know not everybody has that gift or that skill. And at the same time, I think there should be more music, especially more Christmas albums. You know, there's an amazing, I don't know if you've heard, but Robert Glasper did a whole Apple exclusive new Christmas album, and it's great. Seven songs, and I'm enjoying it. And we're doing, obviously, for 885, the SoCal Sound, we'll have a whole Christmas or after Christmas playlist, or right before, I think it's Christmas Eve or something, playlist. So I'll have to send you some of the tunes we're going to play for that, so you'll have them. But yeah, I mean, I love it. I love it. And I know for you, because you're programming so much, there's no shortage. Like, there's always new music. And there's always old music, and we're trying to boomerang. So you're right. It's like we're trying to take old elements, but have new elements in there. I would say not exactly like a Silk Sonic, but something like that, where it's like, why not old people and young people? It's like, it's just music. And I have a friend at Studio 5A in downtown, Mr. Rock, who we've been friends in LA for over two decades. And he has a saying in his email signature, and he always says that good music will always prevail. I believe that too. So good music. Yeah. And for this, good Christmas music will always prevail.
Absolutely. Christmas Day funk, it to me, sounds like something that would have been right at home if you had written this a couple years ago and could have added it to Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Could have fit right in with those tracks.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the goal, to kind of, since Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, the title track was original, to have something that kind of dovetails off of that. But I think it's even fresher than that recording, because even, you know, 2-3 years later, I've evolved so much in the last couple of years. And, you know, I worked with a different drummer who I had met out in LA, but had never worked with, who wanted to work with me. So, and I worked with another remote bass player who I've been working with for many years on the gospel choir of Cliff Beach and Who the Funk of Cliff Beach and other albums, and the Son of a Beach. I got a lot of beach albums. Yeah, so it's great to be able to pull in those elements and stuff together. And then obviously my engineer, Tim, who does everything for me, also played on this record. So we try to mix up the bands and the vibes of different people, you know, because I would love in a perfect world to work with everybody, and not every situation has budget or calls for that. But when I am able to mix it up and change it around, you know, now I have a soul record that's coming out, and that has like one band, a jazz record that has a whole different band, and then Christmas Day Funk, which has a different band. So I love it. I love the opportunity to be able to work with all my friends and to be blessed and fortunate to be able to do it as long as I can. You know, I look at someone like a Tony Bennett, who was doing it pretty much until death. We had lost him in the last year. He has multiple Christmas albums, and I think they're great. And it's nice to be able to hear the transitions of how he became more seasoned over time. And, you know, working with Lady Gaga on two different albums and Diana Krall, like, I don't see a reason to have to retire, you know, or to not do it. And the beauty of, you know, for licensing or anything else, is that Christmas always comes again every year. Every year it's coming back. So if you didn't get a song out this year, you have a whole year to write a new one and get it out next year.
You've got Christmas Day Funk, and you've got the two new albums coming in 2024, the soul album and the jazz album. And then you have these two a cappella singles for Jingle Bells and For This Christmas. It seems like calling you multifaceted is not enough. Have you thought about doing more a cappella stuff?
You know, that's a good question. It's always a love of mine. If anyone knows about my full backstory, essentially my extended family based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, has their own church, and they outlawed instruments, essentially. And so they are very attuned at singing together and very intricate, you know, 5-6-part harmonies. So from birth on, you know, 300 plus of my extended family are amazing singers. And I would tell people I'm not even the best of the best. I have a cousin here that sings circles around me. And so, but that's okay. I just stay in my lane and the funky bag that I'm in. But yeah, so it's cool. I love a cappella music. As I, you know, from Jacob Collier to Take Six to Manhattan Transfer and Bobby McFerrin. I actually saw Take Six a couple of years ago, I think 2 years ago, at Pepperdine, where I got my MBA. They performed their Christmas concert. So I took my cousin, who's also a singer here. And wow, we had an amazing time. I love that kind of stuff, because ultimately for me, like, let's say, you know, we're voting for the Grammys or whatever. I love a simple, like with Christmas Day Funk, you could sing it a cappella and you could still catch a vibe without the drums or anything. And I think that's kind of, for me, how I like to test a song, the melody and the lyrics. Like, could I whistle this tune, you know, Andy Griffith style? Like, is it memorable without a heavy production, a bunch of stuff? Because a lot of things now are very dependent on, like, the production. Like a Beyonce record, and there's no shade on that, but it's like, if you strip away everything and you're just singing this, is this going to be, you know, like a Motown song that I want to hear when I'm old? Or is this like a song that's just for today only? And so by doing a cappella music, it's very freeing for me, because sometimes, even with piano, like, sometimes to be able to translate, okay, this is what I want the guitar to do or bass to do or drums to do, I kind of have to, like, figure that out still, because I don't play those instruments. But with a cappella, it's like my voice is always with me. And so to be able to, and I'm already singing parts anyway, so it gives me a different type of freedom. And I think there's just a beauty of the blend of how voices connect together, whether it be a family, you know, like a Jackson 5 or a Michael Jackson on Thriller album, when you listen to just the isolated vocals, like how tight those harmonies are. Or even better, I saw Michael McDonald breaking down like how difficult singing Steely Dan backgrounds were for Asia, and I was like, wow, when you hear those isolated, you're like, wow, the voice can just do some amazing things. So I think in the future, yeah, I'll probably do some a cappella. I don't know when. I'm actually trying to make some forays into Afrobeat and other stuff. We're also going to do another contemporary EP that's done and slated. I think we're also working on kind of like a EP with a string quartet that I've been working with, Constellation Quartet, and then a kind of piano vocal album in the jazz idiom. So I'm always going from project to project to project, but I do know sometime in the future I'll work on a cappella again. But I'm happy with whatever. Just anytime anything gets out, I'm super excited. So for me, I'm like, wow, Christmas Day Funk, 3 weeks ago, we had no idea. And 3 weeks later, it's like ready to roll for DSPs to go out, you know, and already playing on Sounds of Christmas. So I think that is the beauty of where we are with technology and life, that you really can kind of go from a seed or an idea to like final product, like much faster, for good or bad. I'm sure there's a lot of white noise out there, obviously. And it's like, wow, this, you probably should have baked this take a little longer, you know, that kind of thing. But ultimately, we're not here to judge, because I think, you know, get everything out there, because I've heard many demos that later became, you know, great songs. Actually, there's a whole album of demos. Oh gosh, now I'm trying to think. I don't know if it's stacked. I don't know what record company it is. It's a whole record company where they did like a whole thing of demos. I'll have to look it up and send it to you. But I was like, it's cool. Because some of them really became hits and then some of them were never heard again. And I think, you know, it's all about the process. I think you got to get stuff out there and get stuff out there. You know, I tell people when I did Confident, now it has almost a million streams. That was definitely not my first song or first record. That's probably my 19th release or something. So it just depends. And we had artists, you know, you had artists like Aretha Franklin, who was on Columbia for almost a decade, who had no hits, you know, and then eventually went to Atlantic and Muscle Shoals and Fame Studios and then, you know, became Aretha, who we know, you know, and then now you look back at Columbia years and they call it Queen in Waiting. It was like, yeah, so Blue Holiday, if you've never heard it, it's in that period. But I think, you know, even a Prince, like for you, leading into Purple Rain, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that happened in between. And so you need artists to have that incubation period. So I think the SoundCloud artists or YouTube artists, people who are just, or Instagram artists who are just getting stuff out there, I say do it. Show people your process. When I was in the pandemic, one of Esperanza Spalding's albums, she recorded it on Facebook Live. We saw the whole process and then I paid to get the vinyl and I don't know, she gave me like a piece of her whiteboard or something in there, but it was cool. It was cool to be like, wow, I really saw into the mind of how someone put something together. And I think that helped me through osmosis when I started working on other projects after that, because I was able to get stuff done much faster, you know, after 5, 6, 8 albums than I could in the beginning, where I was like, okay, I got to figure it out one thing at a time. But Christmas Day Funk came together so well, and I think that's just part of the magic, you know, of Christmas, that was able to come together in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, it is amazing now, the technology, and it's not just that you could get something like that out in 3 weeks, is that we do get to hear some of the process for songs that we've listened to for years. There was a special edition of Otis Redding's Blue album that came out, and there was an early take of Dock of the Bay on it. And it's fascinating to listen to that. And you get to the end and he can't whistle. There's that whistling part at the end. And you can hear Steve Cropper, one of the session guys, giving him, razzing him a little bit, because you're never going to make it as a whistler at the end of that. And, you know, we're also used to hearing that 3-minute single and the whistling is so iconic at the end, but here it is and he couldn't do it at that time, but it evolved into something that it came out, you know, after he had passed, but he recorded that final version and that we all know and love. There's also Stax has a new compilation out, and there's an alternate take of Otis doing Merry Christmas Baby, so you get to hear more of that process too. So it's just for a Christmas music weirdo like me, it's fascinating to be able to listen to that and hear how the song evolves and how somebody like Otis Redding could take that and keep working it till it gets to the point where he's happy with it. It's just terrific. You have all these projects and stuff coming out. What's coming first in 2024, or have you decided yet?
Well, I know for sure the only one that's slated for an actual hard release date is the Jazz album, which is coming out on March 15th, 2024. And we have a great new PR and radio team for Jazz to work on it. So I'm super excited. On California Soul Music, my label, putting out all the artwork done. We should be getting CDs back soon. CDs, real hard copy CDs, because Jazz Radio and Jazz PR are the few that actually are older and want actual CDs. So excited to be able to have that. And obviously with the physical medium, you know, we have pictures and other stuff. So it gives you just a little bit more vibe. We did some great artwork trying to tap into some of the great contemporary Black artists that are doing you know, Black subjects in a classical style, juxtaposed like a Kehinde Wiley and the Obama portrait. So super excited to bring those elements into it. It's a Ella Fitzgerald kind of dedicated album, not a tribute album, but I learned a lot from Ella in terms of her life and all the periods of her life. And so it's called You Show Me the Way. You Show Me the Way was, it's definitely my magnum opus after the gospel record. I thought the gospel record was my opus because it took me multiple years to make it. This didn't take as long to make, but the arrangements, we had a whole new arranger come in and help me work on that. And so that took, you know, about a year process from arrangements to actually finishing the record. But I really stretched me as an artist, you know, just because I've been doing music a long time and I studied jazz at Berklee College of Music in Boston. It's not necessarily an idiom that I work in well. And jazz is one of those things where like you can't really fake it well. There's like not as easy to hide as it is in other styles of music. And what I love about the most is that it's still me. So all those great soul and funk underpinnings are still in the record. And one of the greatest feedback that I got from the PR person who was working on it is she was like, when I actually got the record, I looked at all the songs and she was like, oh God, I don't want to hear this again because these songs have been done to death. But when she heard it, she was like, oh wow, these are totally different. These are flipped and they sound nothing like what you would have ever expected. And that's exactly what we were going for, because I knew already, like, the reason why it's not an actual tribute album is because you can never be Ella. Like, Ella was a one of a kind. I've seen the documentaries on her, you know, just one of those things, and no one could be her. To be someone who was pretty much self-taught, she just had a natural gift that will never be replicated again. We are lucky to even have had someone in our lifetime that was like that. I mean, she started winning Grammys after already being in the business of like 25, 30 years, and then won all the way up until almost she died, essentially, in the late 80s, early 90s. So I think just her musicianship and what she could do, I wanted people to kind of understand that. And just understand the Great American Songbook. I mean, we have stuff from almost every great writer of the 20th century. And then again, doing it the Cliff Beach way. So being able to know that that album is coming out, and that was really a heavy focus of what I wanted to come out first. So I'm excited that we're starting with that. And then hopefully the solo album will be a little bit after that, and also the contemporary EP. So they'll be dropping stuff into 2024 and 2025. There is also another jazz album, a big band one, that's on deck to be finished arranging to start recording hopefully next year too. So I always get sidetracked by another project. Like I said, the audio book will also come out at some point. That actually could technically leapfrog and come out first in January, because it's such a heavy focus on weight loss. And I know that New Year's resolution, January is a great time for that. So it may leapfrog and come out earlier, but in terms of music offerings, the jazz album will be the first, and that will still be the heaviest focus for next year. And I'm super excited about it, because I don't know if you've heard it, so I have to send it over to you, but essentially it just, it amazed me. Like the musicianship, the level of what they could do. Someone said used a lot of ink because we had these arrangements that were just like pages and pages and pages. It's through composed almost like a classical score in terms of like how we did the music. And the funny thing is that even though I went to conservatory and learned music and learned how to read music, I don't really read music well because it just doesn't come up for me as a vocalist or even with piano. Like I usually just get chord charts. I don't read like individual notes usually. So it was a stretch goal for me. And I ended up still arranging my vocals and other stuff anyway, but I think it sounds great. And I'm very excited to see what people think when they actually get to hear it. But no matter what happens, I'm always happy just that any projects and babies that I think of actually come to fruition and get out. But more importantly, this one was special to me because I knew it was a challenge. And to be able to have challenges that excite you and get you up in the morning and are a part of your why and your purpose, that like, I never become stagnated because every project allows me to tap into a different piece. I think you were saying earlier, like, I'm kind of like a Renaissance man, that I do a lot of things. It's like, it sounds like it's not connected, but it actually all is connected because it is a piece of me. I don't think that people should be pigeonholed in necessarily one thing. I think that's what the world wants. Like, we like to label and put things into boxes, but I think ultimately the people that are the most interesting are the people that you can never quite put your finger on, but you know it when you see it.
Well, I think most of us are into lots of different things. And, you know, all of the kinds of music that you mentioned, I mean, I love music and I'm very excited about it. I love Christmas Day funk. And I'm really looking forward to the jazz album and the other things that you mentioned. I don't like just one kind of music. And I think that, I mean, that's one of the things that I really love about Christmas music is that you get it all. You know, you get Christmas Day funk, you get a cappella songs, you get R&B, you get ballads, you get rock, you get country, you get everything. And that's okay. Everybody is fine with Christmas music being so many different kinds of genres. And it's not something that translates really into anything else. But the truth is, we all like all of that stuff. And, you know, I know that it's easier for the world to say, oh, you're this kind of performer, or, oh, you like this kind of music, and that's it. And it doesn't work that way. With all of the stuff that you have been talking about that's in the works, I hate to even ask, but is there any chance there's more Christmas music coming?
You know, that is something I haven't thought about, but I think with Christmas Day funk, it has opened up new possibilities. So hopefully work on more Christmas music that can, again, follow up to that. Because I think you've hit the nail on the head that a lot of times there are a lot of sad songs coming out. And I think I'm like, no, I don't want more sad songs. Let's put out the happy Christmas music. But not cheesy. You know, there's a balance of like, yeah, it needs to be still relatable and real. And so, yeah, I'd love to do another single. I haven't thought about it yet. But again, I think when the pressure is on, that's when the idea will spark and come. And I'm always absorbing, you know, what's happening around me. So, you know, as I'm inspired and something comes to mind, then I'll go down that path accordingly. So I always leave it open to the possibility, nothing exactly on the horizon. Most likely because my mind is still focused on the actual release to come of Christmas Day Funk. But at some point in the year, that will happen. At the same time, you know, I'm always working with great licensing companies. So now that some of the strikes and things are kind of wrapping up and they'll have more need for music again, then they may tap me and say, hey, can you write something? Which I always love when I'm writing something specific for a reason. So that could also open opportunities accordingly. And you know, there are a lot of Christmas albums, you know, like Harry Connick Jr. and some great ones that you'll hear kind of children's voices. I never worked with children, but I have been talking with some people who are working with like a really young kid that's going viral on TikTok. And they were talking about a possibility of doing something together. So we shall see. But who knows? Maybe Cliff Beach will do a Christmas album or a children's album. I don't know in the future, but or some duets or something. But yeah, you know, now that you told me about Otis and Merry Christmas Baby and some of those alternate versions, I think I want to say that I think he does a Christmas duet with someone too. But I think, yeah, I think doing maybe a duet would be fun for Christmas. I couldn't get it pulled off for this year, but maybe that might be something to think about.
And after all, Christmas Day Funk wasn't even on your radar 4 or 5 weeks ago.
No. It was really just, oh, okay, yeah, Christmas is coming. Okay, my head kind of out of some projects. And I was like, you know what? It would be great to do that. And we kicked around a couple of ideas. And then Christmas Day Funk just kind of happened. Like, it was just like, oh, that's, you know, I was thinking about, you know, Christmas funk. And then eventually I had to look up, you know, I like to look at titles and see what's out there. I was like, okay, Funky Christmas, this and that. I was like, okay, I want something that's just like reminiscent of that, but a little bit different. So there was no song that I could find called Christmas Day Funk. And then like rhythmically it worked for that. So that's kind of like how it came. And I was like, oh yeah, like, cause you could have a funk leading up to Christmas, but it's like Christmas Day. It's like when you wake up and the present you want isn't there, that's the funk, you know? So like, yeah. So I was like, that's the time I'm going to need this song the most. So let's make it for that, the day of.
I'll put links for your Christmas singles, the new one, Christmas Day Funk and Jingle Bells, and for the Merry Christmas, Happy New Year album down in the show notes. What's the best way for people to keep up with you? Is it social media?
Social media definitely is the best. All my social medias are at Cliff Beach Music for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. If people want to just message me, I mean, people message me at the station cliff at 88.5fm.org. or for the book, they message me, cliff@sidehustleandflow.net. So you can DM me. I mean, I keep up on all those platforms. But yeah, I would say social media would be where people can keep up with, you know, posting wise, what's going on and what we're doing as projects release and stuff like that.
Okay. I'll make sure to put some of those links down in the show notes too. Thanks so much for giving us a new song this year and also for taking some time to talk to us.
Yeah. And thank you for just having an amazing platform running, you know, Christmas music all year round, but really boosting it, you know, this time of year. And I love it. Whenever I pop in and I hear what's playing, I always hear something that's like, oh, I hadn't necessarily heard that song. And sometimes I pop in, I get to hear one of my songs, but I'm like, wow, that's cool. I think best of luck to you and a joyous season, and I look forward to chatting again soon.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is really just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream our podcast. So you can find your favorite, and then you can connect and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.